Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 10, verse number 10. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I want to thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for another day in your house, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the honor and the privilege that you allow me to preach, Lord. Lord, I know I'm nothing of myself, Lord. Lord, I ask that you please hide me behind the rugged cross, Lord. Lord, I ask that no one sees me, but they all see you, Lord. Lord, I ask if there's someone here today that's not saved, Lord. Lord, I ask that you don't let them leave here without getting saved, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I did it. This morning, I want to look at the word whosoever. The word whosoever appears over 100 times in the New Testament, and over half of that Jesus said himself. I start thinking, everything that Jesus says is important, but Jesus said this over 50 times, a little over 50 times. So I thought, what makes this word so important? So I looked up the definition, I Googled it, but then after Wednesday night, I was afraid the preacher was going to kick me out. So I went to the Webster 1828 dictionary. The Webster 1828 dictionary says, whosoever is a pronoun that means any person, whatever, without exception. It is a universal invitation, meaning that no one is excluded, no matter what. Hallelujah. That means no matter who you are, Jesus wants you. No matter where you came from, he will forgive you. It doesn't say whoever's good enough or whoever has never messed up or whoever was raised in church, whoever has their life together, never touch drugs or alcohol. My Bible says whosoever. That means any person without exception. You may be sitting here today thinking you've gone too far, or that you may be sitting here thinking, oh, this isn't for you. I've never done any of these things. But whosoever includes every one of us. My first point is you are the whosoever. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means no matter who you are, Jesus wants you. No matter where you come from, what you've done, Jesus wants you. No matter how broken, how ashamed, no matter how far you've run, he still wants you. It don't matter if you've been raised in church your whole life, never touched alcohol before, or if you're an addict spending every dime on drugs and alcohol or anything in between, Jesus still says whosoever. God's already forgiven you. All you have to do is accept it. Maybe you've never touched alcohol before. Maybe you've never done drugs. Maybe you've never been arrested. Maybe you've never done these things I just mentioned, but you're still a whosoever. You don't have to go out and make your life a mess to discover that you need Jesus. Don't wait. Don't wait until you experience the things of this world to decide that Jesus is enough. Give him your life now. You don't have to have a testimony of what God brought you from. You can have a testimony of what God kept you from. This world will offer you things that look good for a while, but pleasure of sin is only for a season. Sin always has consequences. Don't go looking for a testimony of God of how God saved you from something. Become that whosoever now. Maybe you've been raised in church. Maybe you've never stepped inside of a church. Maybe you say, well, I'm too far gone. God doesn't want nothing to do with me. You don't know what I've done. You know, I have no idea what any of y'all done. There's a lot of people in here. But I can ask you this. Have you ever committed adultery before and then tried to get the husband drunk to cover it up? And then when that didn't work, you ordered the man to be killed to try to hide it? David did. Yes, sir. What about Paul when he was still Saul? I believe that he's probably one of the worst men in the New Testament. He hunted, killed, and tortured Christians. Yes, but God saved him, and he's probably one of the wisest men besides Jesus Christ. And he wrote most, and God used him to write most of the New Testament. If God could use him so greatly, what's keeping him, God, from stopping you? What's stopping God from saving you and using you so greatly? It all boils down to one word. That word's pride. What will this person think of me, or what will that one say? Can I just be honest with you? Who cares what they think? Now, I truly believe that no one in here will think badly of you for getting saved. And honestly, if they do, I really question if they're even saved or not. The Bible says in Luke 15, in the parable of the lost son, which is, can be looked at as a parable about salvation, in verse 32, it says, "It was meet that that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." The Bible says that we should be glad and rejoice when someone gets saved. And when you do get saved, all of heaven rejoices. You go back a couple verses in verse 10. It says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner that repenteth." Notice, it don't say that the angels are joyful. It says that joy is in the presence of the angels. The preacher says Barkerology all the time. I'm going to give you some Thomasology. That, I got to be careful with that. That can get me in trouble in some places. But why would the angels rejoice? They don't know nothing about repentance. I believe that it's all the people that have outrun us, all the people in heaven, all your lost loved ones that outrun you are celebrating that you got saved and they're going to see you again. So don't worry about what others think. All of heaven's rejoicing and rooting for you. Is keeping your image or the way someone thinks of you really worth dying and going to a devil's hell? The short answer is no, it ain't. Second is, you can't do it without God. Some people say, "Well, I want to go to heaven, but I have to get this out of my life first. I have to get this right. I have to get all the sin out of my life and work my way to heaven. I'll be so good that they have to let me in." You won't. It won't happen. You cannot work your way into heaven. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You'll never get into heaven yourself. You can't work your way in. It's a gift. You can't earn a gift. You receive a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough. You can't clean yourself up enough. It is the gift of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He says, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, "I am the way." There aren't 50 different ways to heaven. There aren't even two. There's one. You don't get there because you're a good person. You don't get there because you go to church. No matter how hard you try, how much you may want to, you can't do it alone. You have to go through Jesus. And he made it so simple for us. A lot of times people think there's like a 47-step process to getting saved. Okay, I got to wait for the preacher to give altar call. I got to go to the altar. I got to say this exact prayer. I got to pat my head with one eye closed and my tongue out. No. Getting saved is as simple as ABC. It's admit you're lost and you can't get to heaven without God. Believe that Jesus came and died for your sins and rose again. Confess your sins to God and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And third, you will be a new man. That change you want in your life, it won't ever happen if you don't accept Christ. But when you do, you will be a new man and gone will be the old man. Ephesians 2, Ephesians 4, 22 and 24, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man that is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and truth and holiness." You know, this is a pretty nice suit. At least I think it is. Y'all might not. I think it's a pretty nice suit. Stay with me here for a second. But I think this is a pretty nice suit. I bet most of y'all wouldn't think that this is the suit that I rolled my truck in a couple months ago. This was all... Why'd y'all laugh at that? That's just messed up. But it was all covered in blood and dirt and mud and stains. It was all tore up. So I had to take it to my tailor to get it fixed. And before you're saved, this world will have you all messed up. It tears us, it damages us, it stains us. And you may look at yourself and thinking, there's no fixing this. I thought that this suit was gone. I thought I had to throw it away. I thought, well, I gotta get me a new blue suit now. But if I wanted to try and fix this suit myself, I'd just end up making it worse. But I'm glad that we have a tailor. I'm glad that we have somebody that we can take. I'm glad that we have a tailor that we can go to when our life's messed up and he can fix it. He'll wash you in his blood. You'll be brand new. Who? All your sins will be washed away. Gone will be the old man and you'll put on the new man. I'm glad there's a time in my life in the back room of an old single wide trailer on the bottom bunk that I went to that tailor, hallelujah, and I put on the new man. I became part of that whosoever. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you and he wants you to be part of his family. He wants to save you. All you have to do is accept his gift. There'll still be hard times and you'll still fail him on a daily basis. We all will. We can't help it. But when those hard times come, you'll have a comforter and he'll give you a peace that passes no understanding. And when you sin and again and again and again, and we all will, and you ask and you truly ask him to forgive you, he will. And when we get to heaven and that devil, he's going to try to bring up everything that we've ever done. God will look over to his right. He'll look to Jesus. Jesus will open that book of life. He'll go down. He'll find Nicholas Dale Thomas. And he'll look back to God and he'll say, all I see is my blood. That's going to be the best day for some of us, but it's also going to be the worst for others. There will be tears shed. People say, well, it says that there will be no tears in heaven. Study your Bible. That's after the judgment. Will your name be covered in the blood of the Lamb? Or God say, depart from me, I never knew thee. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, why don't you make today that day? Why don't you find out today? Quit caring about what everyone else thinks. Quit trying to get your life straight before it'll never happen. Quit saying someday, someday, someday may never come. You need God. You need Jesus. He's offering you a free gift. You don't have to earn your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to become good enough for it. All you have to do is come to Jesus and accept him as your Savior today. And you will become part of the whosoever. He can take what's stained and make it new. He can take the old man and make it a new man. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. Come be part of the whosoever. Don't wait until it's too late.